healing process. "You have to try and remain calm," I warned him. I inserted the transfusion needle into his arm. It went in smoothly. I didn't want to hurt him. I didn't want him to squirm and cause me to miss the vein. This whole job was carefully planned out. I didn't want him to spoil it. "Remain calm." Repetition is soothing to horses and dogs and small children. An asphyxiating man is far less easy to calm. "Listen, I'm poking an open needle into your arm. If you squirm too much, I might accidentally force an air bubble into your veins. Do you know an air bubble in your bloodstream will kill you quicker than any bullet? Please, don't make me kill you too quickly." His eyes opened wide. He calmed visibly, staring up at me from behind his duct-taped gag. "Are you ready to cooperate?" He nodded. I didn't believe him. I retightened the gag. Then I brought out the transfusion gear. "Exsanguination is a simple operation," I assured him. "The Red Cross and 10 billion mosquitoes perform it every day. You need to hold still while I drain your blood. Remember that air bubble. Killing you accidentally is the last thing on my mind." It was the truth. I try to never tell a lie. It makes things easier for me when I have to. Besides, if never tell a lie was a good enough motto for George Washington, it was good enough for me. Lucius ceased his struggling and began to breathe in short breaths. Then, as the transfusion proceeded, his movements weakened. "Steady, steady," I chanted. "Patience is a wonderful magic. With a bit of patience and a lot of Vaseline, a full-grown man could successfully sodomize a horsefly." I felt him relax. It was time for my sermon. "Shall I tell you what you did to deserve this treatment?" He stared up at me, apparently too weak to nod. "You know what you did, don't you?" I think his eyes nodded, or maybe they just rolled back into his skull. I kept on talking. "Michael Leyburg. Do you remember the name? You should, you know. You ruined his life. You didn't think his blood was pure enough, did you? You didn't want your daughter marrying a Jew, did you?" I shook my head impatiently. How could such a prejudice exist in the 21st century? We hadn't learned all that much since the Inquisition, had we? Any answer I had was laying on the ping-pong table before me, half dead from blood loss. I wondered why you would need a ping-pong table in your office. Was it for stress release? Was it for weight loss? Did he stage impromptu tournaments? Or was he maybe a closet Forrest Gump fanatic? "Don't die. I'm not through with you yet. Just wait a minute while I begin the transfusion." I had pulled the transfusion gear from out of the car trunk, and I had it mounted on a hospital IV stand, ready to go. It took me 3 days of volunteer work at the Red Cross to get the technique down. I was proud of my effort. You wouldn't believe that I flunked my high school science fair. "You ruined his life. You paid to have him raped. You wanted to punish him, to hurt him, to break his spirit. Did you know that one of the bastards you hired was HIV positive? I bet you did, didn't you?" Lucius tried to shake his head. He made a small, strangled noise beneath the gag. He might have wept, but there wasn't enough moisture left in his body. "You gave him HIV. You stole his pride. You ruined his life." I tried to keep my voice even. I wanted to shout at him. That wouldn't do. Shouting would only spoil the soundtrack. "Did he tell you about his brother? Did you even try to get to know him? You ought to get to know someone before you destroy them, don't you think?" I noticed a picture on the wall of Lucius and a woman, presumably his wife, standing in front